close our eyes and look to the Lord. Once again, praise the Lord, and I'm thankful to God for giving us this wonderful opportunity to be in the presence of God. You know, the book of Revelation is a very good book. How many of you have read the book of Revelation? Many people say that the book of Revelation, I am scared to read the book of Revelation. Now let me ask you a question. Why are you scared to read book of Revelation? What is the reason for you to be afraid of reading Bible? Book of Revelation is a part of Bible. Now when you say that I read Bible, then the whole Bible is given by God to us. We cannot separate books from the Bible. You cannot have choice to read Bible. You know, many of us in the morning when we get up, we are habituated of reading one verse only. Only one verse before you go to office or before you go to school, you know, before you start the work, you have a habit of reading one verse. How many of you do that? If you are doing, that's a bad habit and a bad sign. And let me tell you something, if you are doing and if you are used to these kinds of Bible reading, then you are not a Christian. I'm telling you, you are not a Christian. Because Christians, they don't do like that. Christians, they spend time. Believers, they spend time with their Savior. They want to know about their Savior who died on the cross and shed his blood so that you and I may be saved and live with him for eternity. So we spend time with him. We spend time with him. And you know, Book of Revelation is a very good book. What is Book of Revelation all about? The book of Revelation, if you read the opening statement in the book of Revelation, it's a testimony of Jesus Christ. What is book of Revelation? Book of Revelation is a testimony of Jesus Christ. You want to know about Jesus who died on the cross for you, you need to read book of Revelation. Because that is the testimony of Jesus Christ, which was sent by God himself through an angel and gave to his servant John. And John bears this testimony. He is the proof. He is the witness of this book. And the book of Revelation is all about Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is all about Jesus Christ. If you want to know Jesus, read Revelation. Because the book of Revelation is a testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ. And John, he has seen the vision. And God has given him a great vision. The things which are going to happen. The things in which you and I are involved. God wants us to know his plan and purpose for you and for me. God wants to reveal his plans and purpose. As Jesus was telling a parable, disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why you speak in parables all the time? We cannot understand. They cannot understand. Why are you talking in parables?" And Jesus said, "Listen, I speak in parables, but the wisdom is given to you, not to them. The wisdom is given to you. The knowledge is given to you so that you will understand the parables. You will know what is the meaning of these parables, because God never wants to hide anything from us. God never wants to keep it for himself. You know, God wants to tell us. God wants to disclose. God wants to unveil all his secrets to us, because he loves you and me." You know why he wants to unveil the secrets to us? If a husband and wife, if they both are there, because all the time I use husband and wife, because the relationship between the church and God is husband and wife. So usually that is a good example to give. You know, husband and wife. How many of you have secrets between husband and wife? Anybody has secrets between husband and wife? If you have secrets in husband and wife, that means you are cheating each other. You are cheating each other. You cannot have secrets amongst yourself. You have made a covenant in the presence of God. Malachi 2nd chapter, God says that I was witness for your marriage. The reason I was witness for your marriage and brought you together as one body, because I wanted you to have godly offspring. Malachi 2nd chapter, godly offspring. God wants us to have godly offspring. That's the reason he brought Adam and Eve together and said, "Adam, you need to leave your own family and establish your own family. You need to leave your own mother and father, establish your own family, the responsibilities." Husband and wife, you cannot have any secrets. When you have secrets, that means there is no trust among yourself. And God, being our husband, he never keeps any secret, because he wants us to trust more than anybody in this world. Say amen. Amen. God wants us to trust him. Therefore, God reveals all his secrets to us. God wants us to come. God wants us to stay with him. God wants us to inherit the kingdom of God. Because our God is a living God who died for you and for me. This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So what happened? Now, John is entering into the presence of God. Chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Now, John is entering into the presence of God. Now, what happens? There's something what happens. And I just want to explain to you. I just want to give you inside of this. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 1. "After this, I looked, And there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I have first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. Wow. Now the first two chapters, before this fourth chapter, if you see the third chapter and the second chapter, now God is speaking about the seven churches. And all the seven churches are in Turkey. That is the place, Turkey. All the seven churches are in Turkey. And today, all the seven churches are in ruins. But you know what happened after the seven churches he has seen. Now he is standing and he hears a voice speaking to him. He hears a voice speaking to him. And what was the sound of this voice? Tell me. What was the sound of this voice? The sound of this voice was a trumpet sound. The sound of this voice was trumpet sound. Now I want you to imagine your own self how you imagine this verse. You think that somebody is putting his trumpet to the mouth and started blowing. This is what we get the vision from this first verse of John chapter 4. You know, when you read, it says, the voice which I heard first, open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet. Like a trumpet. You know, usually, this trumpet in the Old Testament is used to summon for the people to line up for the war, or this trumpet sound is used for the people when they had victory in the war. There were two times where the trumpet was sounded, but here it's a different sound. It's the same instrument, but a different sound, because when you read this word trumpet in the Hebrew language, it is very, very different. Salpigos. Salpigos is the word which is used in Greek, which means quivering or revibrating. Quivering or revibrating. Now, if you want to understand this word trumpet and to see how it sounds, the beautiful explanation for this particular verse is in Exodus chapter 19. You know, in Exodus chapter 19, now after coming out from Egypt, the people started traveling. After 3 months, they come and stand at a point, and that point is Mount Sinai. They stand at the point, Mount Sinai, and God said to Moses, Moses, I want to speak to you and to the congregation, Ecclesia. I want to speak to the congregation. I want to speak to the people. Now, when we go up, we will see how this trumpet sounds in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. I'm reading from verse 14. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourself for the third day, abstain from sexual relationship. On the morning of the third day, there was thunders and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. What is that? Very loud trumpet blast. Now before this, you see there is a thunders. You see there is a smoke coming out. You see there are the shakes going on. And before that, now Moses is talking to his congregation. He says, you need to consecrate yourself. You need to purify yourself. You need to cleanse yourself. You know, whenever you come into the presence of God, I don't know how you prepare, but you need to prepare when you come into the presence of God. You cannot come as if whatever way you want to come into the presence of God. In the Hebrew rituals, they have a ceremonial cleansing. Before they could enter into the temple, they have to take a bath. When they are taking bath, they are reminded about the cleansing. You can cleanse your body, but you cannot cleanse your heart. So therefore, you're approaching into the presence of your Creator to be cleansed. Inner part, inside, your conscience must be cleansed. Your heart must be cleansed. Your thinking must be cleansed. So when you are approaching the throne of God, when you are entering into the temple, the very first thing is there is a ceremonial bath for you. That is a preparation to enter into the presence of God. Without that bath, you cannot enter into the temple. Moses is saying to his people, the whole congregation is saying, consecrate. How many of you prepare yourself before you come to the church? How many of you pray and say that, Lord, I am going to your temple. I am going to your place. I am going to worship you. Lord, I can cleanse, I can wash my body, but I cannot wash my heart. My heart is so dirty, wicked. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse says, your heart is wicked above everything. Diseased. It's worse than cancer. Our heart has a disease. And there is no cure for that. And we cannot cure it. Only God has to do it. Only God has to do it. So when we come into the presence of God, we are coming for sanctification. And the sanctification takes place when you prepare yourself and when you say to the Lord that, Lord, I prepare myself to come into thy presence. Therefore, I want you to do your part. There are two parts, my friends. You have to do your part. Prepare yourself. The rest of the thing, God is going to take care. Now, people have come. You know, people are there. God has come onto the mountain. And that mountain is shaking. That mountain is shaking. That mountain is vibrating. There is a tremendous fear in the people's heart. And that is the trumpet sound which is going on. And therefore, Moses is talking to them. Now, let's see how these people respond to the trumpet sound. On the morning of the third day, there was a thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and very loud trumpet. It's not ordinary trumpet. And this trumpet is going to sound again, and we need to get prepared to hear this sound. We need to get prepared to hear this sound, because this will be the last sound in your life and my life. This is going to be the last sound. And therefore, God is revealing to us. God is telling us what is going to happen in the future. And therefore, before something happens, He wants us to warn us and to tell us that, I love you, do not do what you are doing. That's the warning which is coming to us. And therefore, He says, everyone in the camp trembled by the sound of the trumpet. By the sound of the trumpet, when God opens His mouth, the trumpet sound is a sound of God which will make us to tremble. When God speaks, we cannot take it. When God speaks, we cannot take it. That's what here it's happening. Here it's happening. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at a foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. The Moses spake, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of the mountain and called Moses to the top of the mountain. As the sound was coming, you know, and the 23rd verse, Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up mountains, Mount Sinai, because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountains and set it apart as holy." The Lord replied, "Go down and bring your brother." In chapter 20 and verse 1. In chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all this, speaking the words. You know, God spoke all these words. The God spoke all these words. Now, when you say that the God is Elohim, Elohim spoke all these words, Dabar. Dabar means he is. I am that I am. That is the sound of God. That is the sound of God. Now, this whole episode, again, the writer to Hebrews, he brings to our notice. He brings to our notice in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. When you go and open the book of Hebrews, he explains to us the first incident, what happened. The first incident when God spake, people were afraid. The first incident, people have to consecrate. The first incident, people were so feared, and therefore God has put restrictions and said, they cannot come close to me. The moment they come, they will die. The moment they come, they will die. But in the New Testament, after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the whole scenario has been changed. The writer to Hebrew, he says, we have not come to Mount Sinai. We have come to Mount Jerusalem. We have come to Mount Sinai. We have come to Mount Zion. There is a difference between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. So let's go to chapter 12 of Hebrews and see how I'm reading from verse 18. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. That's what we have seen in Exodus chapter 19, when the people assembled and when God was speaking, there was thunders. When God was speaking, there was shaking. When God was speaking, the whole thing was so horrible, and people were afraid, and they couldn't come close, and they were afraid. You know, the moment they touch that mountain, they will die. But here he says that you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and that is bringing with fire, burning with fire, to darkness, glooming and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words, that is Rhema, that those who heard it begged that no further logos, that is word, be spoken to them. They have begged not to listen, not to speak. They have asked Moses, ask God to stop speaking, because the moment he stops, the moment he speaks, everything is shaking. There is fear. We feel that we are going to die. We don't want God to speak. That is the voice of trumpet. That is the voice of God. It's not somebody is blowing that. It's the voice of God. When God speaks, everything will shake. Everything will tremble. And people started begging. Moses said, please, Moses, can you ask God to stop speaking to us? But in the New Testament, it's all different. Now here it says, they begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear that was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must stone. The sight was so terrified that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But, now comes, but you have come to a Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose name are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkling blood that speaks better words than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him, who warned them on earth? Now, when God speaks to us, we cannot refuse. All these people have refused to listen to the word of God. And that's the reason, Hebrews chapter 2, when we read, because of their disobedience, they all perished except Caleb and Joshua. Now here, John is seeing a vision. He's in a vision. And the voice of God, which sounds like trumpet, said, come, let me show you the things which are going to happen. My friends, we will be in the presence of God. We will be in the presence of God. God loves us, therefore he has sent his son, Jesus, to save you and me. Though we were sinners, he died for us. He died for the enemies of God, not for the friends. He died for the enemies of God. And Jesus himself said something. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will raise to live, and those who have done evil will raise to be condemned. The time is going to come. We will be standing in the presence of God. The time is going to come. The trumpet is going to blast again. There will be some sound. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, I think. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 I'm reading. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 52. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will raise imperishable, and we will be changed. The trumpet is going to sound again. We are going to hear the voice of God. John, before he could see the throne of God, he was invited by God. In the Old Testament, we see that God coming and speaking to the people. They couldn't take it. But in the New Testament, we see that Jesus is coming and speaking to us. And he says, we are going to hear his voice. The trumpet is going to sound. The people are going to be gathered in the presence of God as they were gathered at Mount Sinai. And we will be gathering at Mount Zion. Are you ready to stand in the presence of God? Are you ready to stand in the presence of God? When we stand in the presence of God, we have to give an account. We have to stand in the presence of God for judgment. We have to stand in the presence of God. You're not going to speak, my friends. You're not going to speak anything in the presence of God. Because whatever we are doing here is already recorded. Your behavior, your character, God knows. And therefore he says, this is the time. This is the time for salvation. If you hear the word of God, do not harden your hearts, but accept the truth and say that, Lord, I will live for you. There is a difference between accepting Jesus Christ and committing Jesus Christ, committing your life to Jesus Christ. Accepting is you invite Jesus into your heart and you will tell Jesus that I am the master and you are my slave. Therefore, you have to listen to me and do what I tell you to do. You are not the owner. You are a tenant in my body. That is accepting Jesus Christ. But when you commit yourself to Jesus, you tell him that he is your master and you are his slave. Doulos, slave. Paul calls himself, I am the doulos of Jesus Christ. I am the slave of Jesus Christ. He is my master. I am slave. Nothing belongs to me. He is my master. And everything what I have is his. And I have no authority over myself. Commit yourself to God. Commit yourself to God because we have no authority. We have no authority on ourselves. You know, we have seen, we have heard the song, Dehame Devuni Gudaramo. The body is the tabernacle of God. When God called me in 1987, this is the vision what he has given to me. And he says, wherever you go and start the church, the name of the church should be Tabernacle of God. And this name, the name of this church is Tabernacle of God, but this is under the umbrella of Free Methodist Church. But if you go to our website, underneath it says Tabernacle of God. We are the tabernacle of living God. We are the body of Jesus Christ. He is our head. We cannot have ownership, my friends. We belong to Jesus Christ. We are the servants of Jesus Christ. We need to submit ourselves. The trumpet is going to blow again. God is going to speak. Are you able to take the voice of God in your life? If you have submitted yourself, as John has heard the voice of God, you will hear the voice of God. And the voice will tell you one thing. Well done, my servant. Come and inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for you. Today, as you sit in the presence of God, I want you to look into yourself. I want to look into yourself because this world will perish. Our life is like a vapor. We are going to die. But if you accept Jesus as your Savior, if you say that, Lord, I belong to you, if you say that, Lord, I'm your child, the kingdom belongs to you. Shall we close our eyes? As we are in the presence of God, as we are in the presence of God, let us examine ourselves, because we are going to enter into the Lord's table. And the Word of God says that we cannot participate in the Lord's table unworthy. We have to examine ourselves. Do you have a right relationship with God? Or are you playing with God? Our life is fragile. But Jesus came into this world, He shed His blood, so that you and I may live and live for Him. And at this time, I just ask you, my friends, just spend some time in prayer with your Creator. And just examine yourself as you come into the presence of God to participate in the Lord's table. Tell yourself that, Lord, I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time given to us, for your word which has come to us. Your word is strong. Your word is powerful. Your word is truth, O Lord, and we commit ourselves to you, O Lord. We do ask you that, Lord, please forgive us, and Lord, please wash us and sanctify us, O Lord, as we approach your throne of grace. Thank you for giving us this wonderful opportunity. Thank you for bringing us together. We commit ourselves to you, O Lord, and all God's people said, Amen. The Lord's table is open.